Power Church with Gebert Madden. Thank you for joining us for the live broadcast of our service. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with the message of Jesus. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Amen and amen. There we are this morning. Won't you just take a moment and just give thanks to the Lord? And before I start this morning, I just want to pray for us. And as we pray and we get into the word of the Lord, I believe that God wants to bring restoration, and I believe the Lord wants to heal and restore. Amen. And so, good morning, Empower. Good morning to everybody at the different locations. Thank you to the worship team. Thank you so much. And what we want to do right now, I want to pray for us. I want to get into the Word of God and just want to share with you. I know that there's many different locations open this morning. And so we are saying good morning to all of you. Good morning to Cape Town. Good morning to Witbank. Good morning to Secunda. Good morning to the Free State. Good morning to Pretoria. Good morning to Johannesburg. And if I left everybody out, good morning to you. And let's pray and let's trust the Lord and let us get into the Word. Father, I pray this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, for a day, Lord, that we can trust you with all of our hearts. Thank you, God, that this is a day that we can say, Lord, that our faith and our confidence is in you. Father, I pray that right from the start, Lord Jesus, as we come together as a church, as we come together at different locations, Father, I pray just for a restorative nature in all of our hearts, believing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Father, I thank you, Jesus, that with faith all things are possible. Without faith, nothing is impossible. But we believe, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the same. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you can advance us, you can stretch us. Father, thank you that you have moved ahead of us. And Lord, we just worship you, we just thank you for who you are in our lives, in Jesus Christ's name. And all people say amen and amen. And so again, good morning, guys, and welcome to the Jesus Conference and our session just one. And tonight, I'm expecting for what the Lord wants to do this morning and expecting for what God wants to do tonight. And there we are at your different homes and locations. As they said to you a little bit earlier, please be reminded just to send us those pics and those selfies of all of you guys that are together this morning in homes and in different locations across the country. And I hope that you are expectant, and as you guys are online of us on the different platforms, I hope you are expectant. And I want to take you into the Word of the Lord immediately, because I want to speak to you about the spirit of Nehemiah, or the spirit of restoration, really. And as I was studying this and thinking about what to share with you guys this morning, the Lord started to speak to me out of the book of Deuteronomy, and then He tied that into the book of Luke. So I'm going to read for you out of Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And I just want to say, by the way, this morning that we are absolutely, absolutely passionate about seeing all of our people again, like we should worship together. And I can tell you that it is so important. And so in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse number 3, the Bible says this: God, your God, will restore everything that you have lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you scattered. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there. Let me read again. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse number 3, power scripture. God, your God, will restore everything you have lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up pieces from all the places where you were scattered. Now, no matter, verse number 4, no matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there. God, your God, will get you out of there. And what I want to speak to you this morning about is that, as I was thinking on this, is that this season that we're in right now is one of the most absolutely ridiculous seasons I think any one of us have experienced. And I believe after 18 months, we all are just saying we've had enough and we want to go back to life, and we want to do things a certain way. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God wants to restore things. I believe, and I'll maybe say this until the day I die, but I believe that God is in the restoration business. I believe God restores things. I believe that God is not the accuser. God is not a condemner. God doesn't want to break things. God wants to shape things. God wants to move things into place. That's the God we serve. And even though there's a lot of things right now that doesn't make sense, you know, between vaccinations and not vaccinations, you know, the weird season we're finding ourselves in. We have heard about so many people that have lost so many stuff during this season and have lost loved ones, have lost focus. But in the midst of it all, there is an anchor. His name is Jesus. And in the midst of the chaos, there's hope. His name is Jesus. And that's the one I want to speak to you about this morning. And I pray that there where you guys are gathered this morning, that the Spirit of Jesus will come into your different locations, that the Spirit of Jesus will come and locate you. And so I want to read just for you Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. It's a well-known piece of story, and it's not much to say just about this specific, except that it's very well known. But I want to preach you Luke 15. It says this, verse 15 to 11. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me.' So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" What I want you to focus on this morning, very, very simply, is this, is that I believe that God doesn't just want to restore us. God wants to make us whole. God is not just in the restoration business. He's in the wholeness business. And what I mean by that is very simply this, is that this son asked for his inheritance. And I want you to see something here. There's some powerful things that we need to look at here. The Bible says that the son went home and he wanted restoration based on himself. In other words, he said to himself, "Listen, I'm going to go to my father's house, and at my father's house, I'm going to make myself like one of his hired servants. And when I'm like one of his hired servants, I'm going to be restored back to my full status." But that's not the way that God does stuff. God does not restore us based on our status. God restores us based on who He is and what He has done. And I want you to see here, the word father here again is a Greek word for source, and it's a Greek word pater, and it means this, that the son was living with the source. And this is very important, because you can live with the source, you can live with the source, but still have an attitude of living like a slave or wanting to have a lack attitude. Does that make sense? In other words, let me say it like this: you can live with the source, yet you can have a deficit attitude. You can have an attitude of not having enough. And I think one of the things that have happened during this season, or one of the things that has most definitely happened during this season of these lockdowns, is that the marker of what is enough has consistently moved. In other words, we would have never thought 18 months in we would still be online, and though we've had different intervals of being open, I just know personally where I'm at, I'm saying, listen, we have to have the ability to worship God together. We have to have the ability to worship God next to one another, because that's the beauty of church, and that's the beauty of being together. Because if not, what we do, if we keep the church out of society, and you know, there's a lot of opinions about this, but it's absolutely true that the church is the force that keeps lawlessness away. If you keep the church shut, what's going to happen is lawlessness will increase. And at the end of the day, you're going to sit with this country and of a nation that will forget there's a God, And as soon as they forget there's a God, we're in trouble. And we're already heading that way strongly. But as we look to the prodigal son, and I want you just to see this, is that the prodigal son, and I want you to imagine yourself with this. This, the story about the prodigal son is a story that people ask Jesus. That basically the question is to Jesus, listen, Jesus, why do you hang out, or why do you want to restore people that are lost, sinned, and backslidden? And Jesus kind of answers the question, and he tells three stories. He tells a story about the prodigal son, he tells a story about the 99 sheep, and he tells a story about the lost coin. Now, none of this will make sense unless you understand again this morning as we come into restoration. None of this will make sense unless you understand that in the times that you are the lost sheep, or in the times that you are the lost coin, you want to have a father that comes looking for you, not based on who you are, but based on what he is, or who he is. Are you there? Can I say that? The 99 sheep never matters unless you're the one. The lost coin never matters unless you're the lost coin. Because these stories doesn't even make sense, by the way. Because why will you look for one coin, throw a party that's massive, that's going to cost you more than the one coin to get the one coin, unless the stories are not about the one coin that was lost, unless the story is about a God that is scandalously, I almost want to say ravenously in love with us, and he'll do anything to see reconciliation. And the story about the 99 sheep is just as crazy, because you kind of have the 99. The 99 is there. The 99 is in the flock. But yet you go after the one. And for me, I don't know how you see it, but that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the posture of the advocate. It's the God that comes for the one. He, of course, he worries about the 99, but he's after the one. And what I want to share with you this morning, and what I want to push through with passion this morning, is that it's only when we stick with the source, it's only when we stick with the Father that we can be really free. Because freedom right now has been redefined for all of us. You know, there is so many rules and regulations. And so freedom is something that's within you. It's not something that is around you. Because if we look to that is around you, it doesn't make sense. But if I look to the one that's within me, I find hope and confidence. Can I just say this again? If I look to the things that is around me, no confidence. If I look to the God that's within me, a lot of confidence. That's the difference right now. And I want you to see something with this young boy. This young boy leaves the source and he wants to go into the world, or like many want to say, he wants to go into the system of this world. And one of the things I don't get about this time is that why are we living in an age and in a time where it is though people are not understanding where we are at? They're still living their lives like Jesus is coming in 50 years from now. They're still missing the point that we are part of a source. And because we're part of a source, we have free access. You have to understand, we don't need to pay for the access we have. Somebody else has paid for the access we've got. And now that we have got access to the God that has given us free access because of Jesus, we have to live free. If we live in any way, let me say it like this. If we live in any way like hirelings ever again, we have missed the point of the gospel. The gospel is exclusive because it's free. Oh, can I say that again? The gospel is exclusive because it's free. Anything that wants to give you rules and regulations for you to enter in is no longer the gospel. Jesus made it free, but he didn't make it cheap. It will cost us our lives. And that's the difference right now, is that the true Christian church is standing up and it's costing us everything. Why? Because we understand that even though salvation is free, it's free, Christianity will cost you everything. Christianity is not born out of comfort. Christianity is not born in the realms of where you can control it. Because really, if we serve Jesus, really we'll be more in places of stuff that we cannot control, or things that we can control. Because the God that we serve often calls you out of the waters. He'll put you into the lion's den. He'll put you into the prison cells. That's the God that we serve. And it's in those places that he comes through for us. Oh, come on, are you there? because this is not called Christianity. This is called Christianity. In other words, God wants warriors, He wants lions, He wants people out of us that can stand up for Him, that can stand for the gospel and can arise. Are you there? Are you with me? And so it's interesting for me when I read this, it's interesting for me that the Bible says that the Son in the story, the Son came to Himself. He came to Himself. He came to Himself and He said, listen to me, and He said, you know, let me go back to my Father's house. Let me go back to my Father and I become like a servant. And if I become like a servant, maybe I'll find entry back to the Father's house. In other words, he's thinking like a slave, trying to get access back based on what he does. If you look at the Israelites, it's the same example. The same picture. The Israelites were slaves on the inside, yet they were free on the outside. And so many times the things that hinders us is the things that binds us on the inside. Oh, come on guys, are you with me? If you look at the Israelites for an example, and you look at this young boy went to a farmer. He first got his inheritance, then with the fullness of his inheritance, he lost his inheritance. He wants to go to a farmer. The farmer is stuck in the world, can't help him out. Then the farmer sends him to the pigs. The pigs can't help him out. Oh, come on. The pigs can't help him out. And now because he's still part of the world system and this system can't help him, he makes up his mind that he needs to go back to the Father's house. He needs to go back to the source. And it's at the source that he finds freedom. Are you there? At the source he finds freedom. And as I looked at this, the Lord spoke to me and He said this, that it's in this time we can put our faith and our confidence in the world and you'll be stay stuck and stagnant, or we can put our full confidence in Jesus Christ, and that's going to cost us. What it's going to cost us is the humility to stand up, recognize the deficit and walk home. That's it. It's just a journey home. And restoration is a decision away and a step away. Can I say that? Restoration is a step away and a decision away. If you remember who God is, you will always remember that He's a source and He doesn't have rules. Let me rather say it like this. Maybe that sounds bad. In the Father's house, the rule is Jesus. And Jesus is enough. Whatever we want to add to Jesus is not Jesus. So Jesus is enough. He is sufficient. His blood is sufficient. Oh, come on guys, are you there? And so this young boy, what he's doing is ridiculous. He's taking a bucket. He's literally taking a piece of his portion. He doesn't even have the full thing. He takes his share of the inheritance. He takes his bucket and he leaves. And as I thought about that, the scripture that came into jumped in my spirit, is John chapter number 4. It's the same of the lady with the issue of blood. The lady with the issue of blood, she had a bucket and she had a choice to make. She could stay with the bucket or she could go to the fountain. It's a decision that you have to make in your life. You can stick with your bucket mentality, or you can go to the source, you can go to the well, you can go to the fountain. And I believe Jesus wants us to get to the fountain. Are you there? I don't believe He wants us to be bucket Christians. In other words, people that run dry every now and again. I believe that He wants us plugged to the source. When we are plugged to the source means there's no deficit. You cannot run dry. You cannot run out because there's a source. Are you there? A source is something that is connected to itself, which applies to somebody else. You see, let me say it like this. It makes no sense why you want to leave the source unless there's something wrong in your own heart that says, listen, I need to get on myself and do this by myself. I've lived long enough to understand this, that without the source having its full say, you're going to go around the bend and what should have taken you 40 days is going to take you 40 years. Because God doesn't intend us to stay in dry places. God wants us in places of overflow. Come on, are you there? I can testify, I can say it like this. Even in the midst of this pandemic, which I would call a plandemic, even though in the midst of all of these things that we have gone through and the ridiculousness of what we have seen, even in the midst of it, God can still prosper His people. Because God is not bothered by circumstance. His kingdom stands unshaken. And there has to be a people in this hour that is bold enough that can recognize the deficit of sitting around the pigs. And I mean that not weird. But it's interesting for me that as soon as you are stuck with the pigs, you'll have system conversations that keeps you stuck. May I be as bold as to say, is sometimes what happens, we remove ourselves away from the source, we get into the system, we get into the things of this world, and we stay stuck. That's why, for example, you know, one of the things I've been prophesying, and I said yesterday to one of the pastors, I said, I don't get why people are not listening, is that it's really so that the God of this age has blinded the hearts and the minds of the people. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the more we're telling people exactly what's happening in the time, the more people are not listening it. And that's why the Bible says we need to pray for our heart of understanding. Because it's in the understanding of what God is busy doing that we can give ourselves wholly to Him. Oh, come on, are you there? Let me move on and let me say it like this. In John chapter number 5, and you can say, Gibbard, where are you going? I'll bring all of this together. I just want to drive a point through. In John chapter number 5, the Bible says this. Jesus comes to a man that's stuck at the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says, Jesus walks over to this man and he says this, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am going, another steps down before me. In other words, Jesus is asking the question, do you want restoration? Oh, do you want to be restored? That's the question. It's a silly question because the man has been there for 38 years. But I want you to see the man on the mat makes the same mistake as the son of the pigs. The son went to the farmer. The man on the mat answers Jesus and he says, I've got no one to help me into the pool to get me whole. In other words, the man on the mat and the boy stuck in the system, they've got the same issue. They're looking towards other people to get them out. And you can't get out based on what people can do for you. You can only get out based on what Jesus will do for you. Come on, it's true. And I want to share this just with you that you can understand this. You have to understand that you will always face new enemies the day you choose fully to be restored by Jesus only. You'll have troubles that you have never known about until the day you understand. Because the place with the pigs are a comfortable place and the place on the mat is a comfortable. But because it's comfortable, convenient and well known does not mean it's your place. Come on guys, are you with me? Just type back for me. Just say amen or something back on this live stream. And this is the power of where we are right now. Is that God wants His people to rise up in this hour, in this time, in this moment. But it's up to us. It's our choice. And what's interesting, if you look at John chapter number 5, is that when the man on the mat starts to walk away, it's interesting that the Pharisees and the Sadducees suddenly show up. They're nowhere to be seen when the man is stuck on the mat, but they're suddenly on the scene when the man starts to walk. And the question is this, why are you walking on the Sabbath? That's the question. Why are you doing something that our rules are saying you are not supposed to be doing? Question that I have, where were they the 38 other years that the man was stuck on the mat? In other words, they had no problem with the man on the mat as long as he was stuck. Oh, but they had a problem with the man as soon as he was walking. I want you to understand, people don't have an issue of you staying stuck, but they have a massive issue of you the day you start moving. Why? Because they like their mats and they like their pigs. They like the mud. It's convenient, it's well known, it's comfortable, but it's in the system. Oh, and God doesn't want us in the system. He wants us out of the system and He wants us into the source. Oh, come on guys, are you with me? He wants you into the source. And I want to just pray for our hearts right now in this moment that you can just catch this what I'm saying, because where I want to lead you right now, I want to take you to a place in these next couple of minutes, there we are watching me from, where we're going to break the pattern of the world around us. Because there's something that God wants to snap off us in this day, in this moment, in this morning, that we can take hold of the source heart of Jesus Christ. Are you there? So there we are. Why don't you just take a moment with me and just take a moment. Just put your hands in the air and just lift your heart to the Lord. I want to pray for you as I go into just the definitive part of what I want to share. But I want to pray just for open hearts right now and open hearts to receive. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that right now that people's hearts will go open for the gospel. And Father, I pray that hard hearts will go soft and that people will come home in this day. I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray for a breaking off and a breaking free right now as we move into that you have purpose for us in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray just for hearts to be open to your gospel of good news right now in Jesus' name. And amen and amen. And I want to share just this thought as your hearts are open this morning with me. That just this thought, and I want you to listen very, very, very carefully. And there where you guys are at your homes and at all the different locations, I want you to listen carefully. Because what I want to share now is going to tie into the heart of restoration. As much as we want to help Jesus out, we can't. We have to receive that He comes in by weakness and not by strength. In other words, it is in our weakness that His power is best manifested. But I want you to get something here. It is the best picture that I can throw out for you this morning is the heart of Jesus Christ to not be an accuser, but to be an advocate. Jesus is called an advocate for us. And the best way I see Jesus as an advocate is very simply this, that Jesus goes down and the Bible says they throw a lady in His midst, and as the lady is in His midst, Jesus can with everybody else pick up a stone. He's the only one in fact that can pick up a stone. Nobody else can pick up a stone but Jesus. Jesus is the one that can pick up the stone. But because He's called the Rock of Ages, He doesn't pick up a stone to stone somebody. Instead, He has the posture of an advocate and He stoops down to where the lady is at. And it's at where the lady is at that Jesus encounters her. And when I thought about what jumped into my spirit this morning, and that's what I wanted to get across this morning, is what is the parallels of all of these stories? What is the same thing of all of these stories? And it's simply this. That whether you are a prodigal son lost with the pigs, or whether you are a stuck invalid lost on a mat, or whether you are a lady stuck in a crowd that wants to take you out, whatever your status and whatever your circumstance, there's one common denominator. Jesus comes and finds you at the place that where you're at. And it's at the place that you are at that He brings restoration to you. In other words, the gospel is an equalizer. The gospel doesn't have big sin, small sin, massive sin, little sin. No, the gospel just equalizes everything. And that's why we often don't like the gospel. Because we believe sometimes that we have got more superior ways to get to God. No, there isn't a superior way. There's just Jesus. And so Jesus will equalize everything so that all can have entry to Him. So He doesn't matter if you're broke. He doesn't care if you're stuck. And He doesn't care if you're lost. He'll come and find you. And He'll come and fix you. And He'll come and make you whole. But the price tag is we need to let go of the system and get to the source. Because it's at the source that there's no permission that needs to be asked. Oh, come on. It's at the source that you can actually find your way back. And it's at the source that He equalizes everything and says all men can enter in. The beauty of the gospel for me is this, is that all men can enter. Not some, not an exclusive, but all men. And that's why the church is so powerful, because the church is a house of prayer and a house of worship for all nations. Not some nations, not an exclusive group, for everybody. That's the power of church. Are you guys there? Are you with me? And so, The simple this is this. The scandalous love of God is best described in this sermon this morning. Is that God doesn't care where you're at. What He cares about is you coming to the source. That's it. And so if I can describe it like this, it's ridiculous if you think about it. But it's absolutely true, guys. Just be with me for one or two more minutes. I want to just get revelation across to you. Jesus is literally the fountain, but He waits for somebody with a bucket. Jesus is literally the healer, yet He goes to somebody stuck on a mat. Jesus is literally the source, yet He waits for somebody to come home that smells like being lost. Jesus. And so it tells me just something beautiful about the Lord the whole time. Jesus Christ wants you whole, and He wants you back, and He'll do anything for that fact. He'll do anything to get you back home. And you might be, listen, you might be sick and stuck. You might be a prince in a pig pen. You might be broken and lost. But one thing I do know about the Lord is this, is He does not do temporary fixes. The Lord makes you whole permanently. In other words, I actually believe that God is the God of more than enough. He's the God that's too much. He's the God that will not just fix the problem. He's the God that will make you whole, and He'll be the God that restores you. That's the power of the gospel. Oh, come on. Are you there? And so, let me come with one or two thoughts to you as there we are in your groups, because I want you to, there we are in your groups this morning, I want you to be able to take time and to pray, take communion, and to literally lay hands, there we are, on all the different locations. But this is what I want you to catch this morning. In this season that we are in right now, there's a lot of things between all the theories, between all the ups and downs, between, you know, if I just take the scope of things that people have gone through the last 18 months, the last thing we need is a difficult gospel. Can I say that again? Because if I take the scope of 18 months, we've gone through lockdowns, we've gone through deaths, we've gone through theories, we've gone through a lot of stuff, and the last thing we need is a gospel that is complicated. And I believe that right now, that's the last thing we should be preaching. We should be preaching a gospel that is simply powerful, but able and sufficient to help supply, destroy the works of the devil, and do that effectively. Are you guys there? Because Jesus just wants to equalize this stuff. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but what I do know this is that God loves you so much that He sent the Son for whosoever. That just simply means that many people will not believe on Him. They will not even get saved. But it doesn't matter if they'll be saved or not saved. Jesus just says, I'll restore them. If they call upon My name, I will restore them. And so, it's time for us to, and this is the thing, we have to disconnect ourselves from the system. Because as long as you stay in the system, you're going to stay stuck. Come on, guys. That's a reason why certain things are called certain things. The reason why many people are worried now is because they're stuck to a system. The reason why many people are lost in their identity, stuck to a system. This boy's problem is, listen, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to tell my father, make me like one of your hired servants. In other words, he wants to try to get back in by becoming like a son of the system. You're not a son of the system. You're the son of God. Massive difference. In other words, even though you make mistakes, even though you do mess up, and you're going to mess up a lot, even though these things happen, the book of Deuteronomy stands for us. And that's the scripture I started off with. It stands. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 stands. Where the Bible says, God your God will restore everything you have lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick you up. And pick you from the pieces from all the places that you were scattered. And no matter how far away or far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of here. Let me read that again. It's a beautiful scripture. You can read it in Deuteronomy 30 verses 3 to 4. God, your God, will restore everything you have lost. He'll have compassion on you. You'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places that you were scattered. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there. And I want you just to see something here. And I'll close with this because I want you to be active in your groups this morning. Look at this piece here. The Bible says, God, your God. Not somebody else's God, your God. That tells me the gospel is personal. Will restore everything you have lost. That means he takes note. But now listen to this. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces. Now let's just stop here. Listen to me. Pick up the pieces. When you start to move away from the source, you lose a little bit of yourself until you find yourself lost. As soon as you start to walk away from the source, you start to give up little pieces. We give up the sanity of our hearts. We give up the things that we once believed in very strongly. We give up the way we love people somewhere along the line. And we start to give away the pieces of who we were when we believed Him, when we were really in love with Him. And so we lose a little bit of ourselves along the way until we lose all of ourselves. And then we become lost. Are you there? And I don't know if you understand lost and found, but it's a simple terminology. Most people that lose something, we here at the church, we've got a lost and found area. And you will lose more things than anybody will come and find, by the way. There's not many people coming to look for the stuff that they lost. Why? Because people move on and people forget. And quite frankly, I believe that people believe as long as it doesn't touch them, they don't need to be touched. Let me say it like I feel it is. People don't care unless it touches them. They don't need to care because it doesn't touch them. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is, I should care because you care, and because I care for you and you care, I must care. Let me reword it. The gospel of Jesus is actually, I love you, and if you don't love me, I'm still going to love you, not based on you, but based on me. I'm going to make you whole, not based on that you are qualified to be whole, but based on that I am whole, and I believe you are whole, because I believe I am whole, and I want you to be whole, because I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, come on. And so, this picture of Deuteronomy chapter number 30 is a powerful picture, because it says this, He'll come and have compassion on you, and He'll come and bring back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. In other words, there's a place that you lost stuff. And here's the thing about Jesus. He knows where you lost your stuff. And if you're willing and you will allow Him, He'll pick it up. How do I know? Jesus picked up the cross that bears all your pieces to make you whole. And so I believe in this hour, the gospel is exactly the same. You might have lost your passion when you got hurt. You might have lost your passion when you got betrayed. You might have lost your passion when you were offended. You might have lost your passion when you lost a loved one. You might have lost your passion when you lost some money. You might have lost your passion because you can't do certain things the way you've done it before. But here's the bottom line. The gospel is an equalizer. And if you will allow Him, He will restore you back to the former. And the former is not just the place that you were once at. He will restore you to a better place. Because He's just as good as that. And listen, I can prophesy to you all the things that's going to happen in the world, but it does not matter because He's in control and He's going to shape this world. He's going to conquer this world as He's done before. And He said this to us. He said, do not fear, do not be worried, for I have overcome the world. Come on, there's not a devil in hell There's not a devil in hell that is strong enough and powerful enough that can stop the plan and the purpose of God for your life. But we have to be able to say, hey, I am lost. I don't have a clue what I'm busy doing. I don't have a clue about my future. I don't even know how to get there. And when you start to be as real like that of God, God says, listen, let me come onto the scene. Let me make you whole and let me redeem you and bring you back to the source. Oh, come on. The God of Jesus is an all-consuming, scandalous, forgiving God. And I say it like that because I mean it like that. And if we can just get this posture of the posture of Jesus back. And this morning my goal is very simple. I want to get people back into the house of God. I want to get you back to the source. Come on, I want to get you back there. And this whole day, the Jesus conference, this morning session and tonight, I'm going to aim at getting you back. And here's a beautiful thing that I want you to understand this morning. The sun is smelling like pigs. He's smelling like his failure. The Bible says the Father runs, not walks, runs. The Father runs to get the Son. He runs. He throws on him a robe. He throws on him sandals. He puts on him a ring. And he slaughters the best. What does that mean? He gives him back his cloak. Cloak means identity, coverage, protection, provision. He gives him back the ring. What is the ring? The ring means access. To what? The family's money. And he slaughters the best. What does that mean? And he says this. Listen to what the father says when the older brother moans. Because by the way, you'll always have people that moan when God restores you. Let's just say that like it is. Because it's true. The old boy comes and he says, Father, I've served. I've done everything. Why have you done this? And listen what the father says. The father says to the oldest boy, he says, my son was dead. But now he's home. In other words, listen to me. Whenever we stay stuck in the system, God counts us as dead. And you can say, that's heavy. You know what it is? God sees that we have replaced him with something less than him. And he says his son is dead, now he's home. And so my call to you this morning is a simple one. It's a real simple one. God says, listen, don't stay stuck and stay dead. Come back home and be alive. Oh, come and be alive again. And I want to say this morning, just simply as I come to a landing, and guys, there we are. I want you to be ready to minister to people. But I believe that God wants to fix relationships. And the reason why the guys wrote finances on you is I believe God wants to fix the source problem. I believe God wants to restore, and part of that restoration is resource. I believe that God doesn't want you to be a conduit that just has a little bit of a supply. I believe God, let me say it like this. If you can bring back your childlikeness, you will bring back your unlimited supply understanding. Say, I don't get it. Let me give you an example. My daughter of 5 years old, she'll plug in the hose pipe, she'll open up the tap, and she'll leave. She'll leave. The tap will keep on running. The water will keep on spilling. The source will never stop. And what looks like wastage to me makes perfect sense to her, because she's not paying the bill, nor is she understanding anything but that when the tap is open, there should be supply. And may I be as bold this morning as to say, we need Christians back in the house of God that believes the Lord, that they have an open source Jesus Christ has paid, and therefore, in childlikeness, you can open the tab and you can leave it open. Because the awesome thing about God is this: God will never require you to close the tab. Because He has not a source system that runs dry. He doesn't have anything He's connected to. He Himself is the source. Oh, come on, guys. And so, I want to pray for you this morning. And there we are on your groups. I want you to take time this morning. There we are on your locations. I want you to take time this morning and be sure that we get people back to the source. We have to get people back to the source. But for us to get back to the source, we have to make a choice to get out of the system. I made this choice long ago. I said to myself, the system sucks. Because the system keeps me in conversations that can't help me. It keeps me in crowd that holds me back. It keeps me stuck on mats of places that I never want to be ever again in my life. And the truth is, the system doesn't like itself. The system sucks. But thank be to God that we can enter His ballroom or His throne room boldly in our time of need. We can kick down that door and we can say, hey, we sons, we daughters. So what are we seeing right now across the planet? Let me say it like this, and I'll close with this thought before I minister to you. We're not going to win the world back by telling the world how much they lost. The world doesn't care how much they lost. We're going to win the world back by telling them how much our God is in love with them. Because all of you were conquered, not by rules, you were conquered by love. Love conquered you. And so now that we have been conquered by love, we need to go right back to the people that are stuck in the big mire, stuck on the mats, that are stuck in the system, and we need to tell them about a God that is in love with them. And we need to get them free. This is how I see it, that every single one of us, we are a key to somebody else's freedom. Come on. Every day, and maybe it's just me, but every day you walk past people that are stuck. And you have an opportunity to get them free. Come on. You just need to get them to the source and He'll do the rest. And so this morning, there we are. I want you just to lift your hands and I want to pray with you. And I want to specifically pray for relationships, and I want to pray for finances, and I want to pray for these things in this day, because I believe that these are the things that God's going to restore in this morning service, in our first time together. And there we are. I just want you, everybody that's online of us, I want you just comment that are you expecting for God to restore, because that's what I believe He wants to do. God wants to restore relationships, and I believe He wants to restore sources. He wants to resource you again. And what I love about the story, and I'll really come with my own thought. What I love about the story, the father does not question the son. Please listen to me. The father does not question the son. What he did with his inheritance. That question is never raised. In other words, the father never asked the question about how much he messed up. The question is never raised around inheritance. Listen, what I find interesting about this is, for me, if I look at the gospel and I look at the man walking on the mat with his mat away, it's interesting that nobody really cares that he's walking. Everybody cares, why are you walking? In other words, Jesus wants to make you whole, keep you whole, and people are going to have a problem with it. But you have to make a decision with me today and say, I want my wholeness because Jesus has called my name. And so there we are, guys. You've heard the heart of what I wanted to share this morning. And There we are this morning. I want to pray for you and I want you to get to the source. And there we are in your groups. I want to ask in your groups and in the locations this morning. I want you to, when you are in your groups and in your locations this morning, I want to ask you, please, that you take time and have ministry to one another. I want you to pray for people. I want you to pray and to minister and to really take time to get people back to the source. Because everybody has a bottom line. I was in a thought this morning that, you know, somebody said something during this week for me and it struck my heart so much. He said everybody has a pressure point that they give in on. And when they say it's enough. For the son, it was when he was having big discussions. That was enough for him. It's like, I'm going to get home. And so I don't know what's your bottom line, but here's the point. The quicker you can turn, the better for you. And if you don't, here's the good news. Even when you turn later on, he'll still restore you. That's just Jesus. That's the good news. That's the gospel. So here's my summary sentence. In a complicated world, the gospel is still powerful because it's simple and it makes everybody enter. It makes you enter on all tribes, colors, doesn't matter of your background, doesn't matter about your future, doesn't matter about mistakes. Jesus says, welcome. And that's the message we have to preach. Because right now, that's the word that the gospel, the world needs to hear, is that God is in love and nothing can stop that love. Amen. And so there we are this morning, guys. I want you to just take a time. I want to pray for you first and then I'm going to minister to you. Just want to pray for you as I minister to you. And I want you, there we are, to take time in all the locations that you spend time ministering and loving people. It's all about people. Because it's all about our God. It's first about God, now it's about people. Love God, love people. Amen. And so, Father, I just before I pray, I want you to just comment for me your expectation. If you're expecting and you're saying this morning, Pastor Gebhard, I'm expectant. I'm expectant to receive change. I'm expectant. I have a word for you, and this is what I have for you this morning. Many of you think it's difficult to be restored. It's not. It's just standing up, putting your head in the right direction, and get going. Restoration is not as difficult as what we think. Restoration is a call to God. To get out of your trouble, it's just a call. That's it. You don't need to do much. Just call His name. You don't need to say much. You just need to humble yourself. That's it. From that place, full restoration can come. Come on, guys. That's what I believe the Lord wants to do this morning. He wants to bring you to full restoration. But you just need to make up your mind and say, yes, Lord. That's it. Let me give you a picture. I'll stop in a moment. Let me give you a picture. Here's the picture. The lady with the issue of blood, she cries out. She says, Jesus, Son of God, help me. And eventually, you know, sorry, she didn't say that, but I said that. The lady of the issue of blood, she's got a hunger to get to Jesus. She grabs hold of His garment. And that's actually what I want to say. She grabbed hold of His garment, and this is the point I want to bring across. The Bible says Jesus stops. Jesus turns. And so what I want you to get this morning is that Jesus is stopping. And Jesus is turning. And when He stops and when He turns, here's the bottom line point. The crowd does not matter. Because His focus is on none of them. He focuses on the one. And right now and this morning, you're the one. And the crowd doesn't matter. And you can have a lot of crowd around you. The crowd can keep quiet. Because the Master is gazing to you. And I don't know about you. But the thing that makes me more passionate now than ever before, the thing that will see the gospel advance, is that I know just this one thing, that the gaze of the Master equalizes or shuts up the crowd. Because that's what the gospel is about. The gospel of the one he loves. Amen. And so there we are this morning. I want you just to take a moment. And there we are before I encourage you to minister to. It's really, if I can say it like this, he's the God that sees you. Oh my God, I can preach just on that. He's the God that sees you. He's the God that sees you. And so this morning, why don't you just put up your hands, there we are, and just take a moment before we minister in the home groups. And guys, I want to encourage you of all that I am this morning to receive his restoration and to say, Lord, restore me, make me whole once again in Jesus' name. And so Father, I want to pray this morning for people that are, Lord, for every single person right now. Father, I want to pray this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that right there in the midst of them, that restoration will come in. I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now there in the midst of them, Father, that this call from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that you say, I want to restore you. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that people will come back home this morning. And Father, I pray this morning that sons and daughters will come back home. I pray, Father, for people to return back to you, the source of it all. And Father, that they will break free from the system and take part and take and grab hold of the source. This I pray in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord Jesus, that system mentalities will go, the worldly mindsets will go, and that, Lord, that this morning that we'll just grab hold of the source and say, this is who we are and this is what you want from us in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray right now where people are at, Lord, that they will feel, they will know that you are encountering them. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that more than anything that they will know this morning, that restoration starts in this day, in this moment, right now, in Jesus Christ's name. Before I allow you to go into your groups, I want to make a call back home. I want to make a call back to salvation. What is a call back home? It's a call to say, Lord, I'm returning back to the source. I'm returning back to the founder. I'm returning back to the one. And so there we are this morning. On all these platforms, I want to encourage you. Just take a moment. I want you to pray with me. And as you pray with me, I want you just to put your name up. And just say, I'm coming home. Just your name and I'm coming home. And that will just be for me as I pray with you now. Just with you, that you're coming home. That no matter where you were or what you've done or where you were stuck, but that you are coming home this morning. That will be the best conclusion of any start, of any conference, is that kids are coming back home. And that they are realizing that they don't want to be in the system. They want to be in the source. And so, Father, I pray right now for people in the name of Jesus Christ. As people are busy commenting, Father, I want to pray. Lord Jesus, just pray this prayer with me. There we are. Say, Father, I come back home this morning, in this day, in Jesus' name. Thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins, of all of my iniquities. Thank you that in this day, I can come home. Father, I thank you that you count not the past against me, nor the present, but that I can come home to you in this day. I realize, Lord, in the midst of all of this, that you are the source of my salvation. Father, I believe in my heart, I confess the Lord Jesus Christ as my God, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Won't you just comment that? I just want to give you a moment. Just comment your name or just comment, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. That's all I want this morning. And there's many people busy commenting, because this is the beauty of the gospel, that people are coming home. I want to encourage you this morning. I'm going to see you again tonight. Tonight I'm going to speak to you about how Jesus holds your stars. I want to pray as you go in your as you're on your different locations now and across the city and really across this nation, that you will take time now to minister to people. Pray for people. Say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I bring you back home? And for every single body that's with us online, I want to encourage all of you. This is the time of the source. It's not the time to be in the system. The system is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. But for us that are belonging to the source, it's we're going to get to restoring and better. And we're going to go from just on an increase the whole time. And we're just going to see the best of God. Why? Because He's the source. He's not in the system. He's not part of this world. So I want to encourage every single one of you. And I see many people are commenting. Thank you for all the comments. Let it rip. Comment, comment, comment. And there we are, guys. I want to pray for you. And then we'll see one another again tonight. I pray that this message has helped you to ready your hearts for that what the Lord wants to do. I want to encourage all of you. You've heard the guys say earlier on in Empower 316. I want to encourage every single one of you. Do not miss Empower 316. We've got hundreds of people that has already signed up. Don't not be a part of this. Please be a part of Empower 316. Where we want to empower our world to get people out of the system back to the source in Jesus' name. So Father, I pray this morning for people that are on their different locations. I pray, Lord Jesus, that Lord, the leaders right now will stand up and will say, Lord, and I pray for those groups, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord will be evident in that group. And Father, I pray that people will find healing this morning, that they'll find wholeness this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, there where the groups are located and the locations are located, that in this morning there will be wholeness in Jesus' name. Father, we silence the voice of the accuser. We silence the voice of the one that has come against us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can receive your wholeness in this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Lord, thank you that this morning is a first step towards restoration as we move towards this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people say, amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Empower Church service live on Impact Radio. If this ministry has transformed your life in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us and help us continue delivering God's Word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.